God is good, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. We're having church today, you know. Praise the Lord. You know, we very rarely will cancel church. It's something that if we can get here, generally speaking, we will. You know, last night we had to cancel in Corey. It's a little bit different because we have a whole group of people that travel a long ways, and of course, I wanted to be mindful of that. I'm never usually worried for myself or concerned for myself, but I do have to think about other people, and that's why we did that. So if there's anybody for Corey, we turned on the live stream for people. If there's anyone, Corey, welcome. We're all family anyway, so praise the Lord. You're welcome to tune in and hear what God has to say. But, you know, I say that to say this also, that if you ever are uncomfortable coming out in the weather, you know, or something like that, then don't push it. You know, you can stay home and God will bless you anyways, you know, in cases like that. You know, my pastor always says it like this, and I love it. He said, if you would drive to Walmart, then go ahead and come to church. But if you wouldn't, then, you know, you need to consider that. So, you know, and everybody's at different places, praise the Lord, you know, and everybody has different vehicles and different tires, hallelujah. But praise God, we're coming together to have church today, hallelujah. You know, I'm excited for it. I love church. Church has done so much in my life. You know I say that all the time, but I never want to stop saying it and giving God the glory. You know, I'm constantly, one of the ways that we're told that we prevail is through the testimony, amen, through the testimony of our lips and telling what God has done. And I like to remind people what God's done, amen. You know, just this week we were talking with Bob and Chris. It's not Bob, that's Chris over here. Praise the Lord. But we were talking with Bob and Chris, you know, and we were talking about Bob's job that he has, you know, and I remember when he was going through, he was believing for it. It was quite a promotion for him in a lot of ways, not just financially, but there was a lot of promotion that was involved with it. And he applied for this job, and he, you know, wasn't sure. You know, he was just believing God for it, but he wasn't sure naturally if he could get it. And you know, they sent him a letter even, and he showed us the letter. I love it. But it says they determined that he wasn't qualified for that job or underqualified or something for that job, and praise the Lord, so you got that. And of course, at first that looks like a bad report, you know. Yeah. But I think it was his wife that stayed in faith over it. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. Bob probably stayed. You know, at first he was a little bummed probably by it, but they stayed in faith over it. You know what? And pretty soon he ended up getting that job. Today he doesn't just have that job, but he has the job of the one who leads that job. So if he wasn't qualified for that job, but he was at least qualified to be the leader of that job. So praise the Lord. But you know, how many know that God does the qualifying? I bring that up just to remind us, you know, there's testimonies in life. You know, there's things that sometimes happen because you serve and honor God that couldn't have happened any other way. And so if you know, if you're desiring God to move, you know, you just think about things like that. We give testimonies to remind people that if God does it for one, he'll do it for another. Praise the Lord. And Bob and Chris are a faithful, faithful, faithful couple. You know, we talked to them, and I've told them that I would pay $1 million to be able to have a couple like them in every church that we plant. Praise the Lord. As the family churches, because it makes such a difference. Amen. And I'm just thankful for people like that in our lives. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But when people are faithful to the call, look what God does. Amen. And of course, they know that there's not just that blessing. There'll be many more blessings, you know. Glory to God. We need to get out of that mindset that, I hope this is okay, but we need to get out of that mindset that God will just bless us once, or if we got a blessing that we probably won't get one now for a while or something like that. We ain't got to live. We got to live in the blessing of God. We got to live in the blessing of God. Amen. Because that's what God, where God wants us to be. Amen. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. You excited you came to church today? Praise the Lord. Well, you better be, because you toughed the weather. You braved the weather. You came out in the snow and came up here on the hill. Praise the Lord. And you're ready to receive. Glory to God. Well, today today's message is called Proving Ground. Praise the Lord. And we're going to be talking about some truth in the Word today. It's actually this message is really based around the wisdom of God. Amen. Some of these verses, many all of them, maybe I've used before. And that doesn't matter so much as it matters what God is revealing to us this time through them. You know, and how many people know that? You know, like sometimes I remember there was times where there were certain accounts that my pastor would go to often, you know, certain accounts in Scripture that he would very often, to the point sometimes where you could almost repeat them, amen, as they went to him. But you know, and I remember my pastor had some, and sometimes when he'd go to him, inside I was just like, oh, are we going here again? You know, but you know, the thing is that The Bible is a continually, it's a living word. And so it always gives us more revelation. And so there's more to glean out of every scripture, amen? There's many scriptures that I've read over and over and over again and still get something new out of them every time. In fact, this was the case last night. I was actually planning on preaching a different message. Actually, I was kind of planning on preaching a message on kind of a continuation on last week's message about seasons and stuff like that. But this seemed right, the direction that I should go. And so even though I had another message all planned later last night, right before bed, this other message came to me, and that's where we flow with you, amen? And how many know that, God, speaking of seasons, God plans things for seasons and times, amen? And so, maybe there was some kind of shift, I don't know, but God has planned this message for today, and we're going to flow with it, amen? Praise the Lord. So today we're talking about proving ground. And I want to try to answer a question through today that a lot of people have had, a lot of that I myself have had. But the question is simple. How do we know what is the truth? You know, when you listen to so many different, you can listen to different ministers, you can listen to different, watch different videos on YouTube, or you can watch different church services or whatever, and there's a lot of people, you can go to different churches, there's a lot of people saying a lot of different things. And sometimes it actually makes Christianity look not very good, not very stable. But how many know that that's not God's desire? You know, if there's something that's screwed up in the way that we do things, it's not God, it's us. Amen? We just got to get used to that. And the same thing is with churches. God has a lot of churches on this earth that he ordained, but not every church is perfect. Amen? How many know that we're not perfect? We're not going to be perfect. The family churches aren't perfect. But there is truth to be had. Amen? And sometimes where people get off or difference, and sometimes you can see it real easily if you know anything, but you can see that sometimes the differences are just slight, but it's a difference, and it's enough to make a difference. Amen? You know, my wife was showing me it was a video of a minister that somebody else had said something about or whatever, and just showing me some things about how this minister, some things, we weren't picking at the minister or anything like that, but some things that were off in what we're being taught. How many know when there's things that are being taught out there that are off, you want to recognize it, amen? Doesn't mean you want to go talking smack about everybody, but you need to recognize when things are truth and when things are not. And there was many videos about this minister, but the videos oftentimes were by other ministers or other people, other strong Christians or whatever, knowledgeable believers, praise the Lord. And, the thing is even though some of what they were saying about this minister were true, I said to my wife, I was like, the spirit behind how they're saying it is not God. It's not God. See, you can come against something just to be divisive. You can come against something to be because you think that something different, but you can come at it from the wrong spirit. It matters, and it matters to God so greatly how we act towards other Christians, even Christians that are wrong. It matters so much. You know, sometimes I preach boldly. I would say most of the time I preach boldly, but that's my calling too, amen? But how many know that the way that I preach isn't necessarily the way that you witness, amen? You don't necessarily run up to people on the street and start calling every little thing that they're doing now, amen? You have to know the time and the place. And so there's things that matter. You know, the Bible says that we're to walk in love, and that's what we need to do, praise the Lord. And it is a lot different preaching to a group of believers than it is witnessing to someone on the street who maybe isn't a believer or isn't a strong believer, amen? But we know something. So how do we know what is truth? And I believe by the end of the service, we'll answer that question, amen? But we're going to start in Proverbs, praise the Lord. So I'd like you to turn to Proverbs 1. Amen. Proverbs 1. That's at the beginning of Proverbs. Praise the Lord. Now, as we get into this, I'm going to share just a little tidbit that I got yesterday as I was in this. You know, as I was, I write in my Bible. I highlight my Bible. I mark it all up. If you can, you can probably see it. If you can't, well, you need to move closer. Praise the Lord. But, there, we, as things pop out to me, you know, or whatever, or things, you know, revelation, you know, comes to me, I will write stuff. And then even some places in my Bible where I've had lots of revelation on something, I go back to and it's like, man, I need another page because I don't have any more room to write in here. Amen. But you know, as I was getting into the Bible, and I was looking at Proverbs, I was led to these scriptures in Proverbs in the beginning. As I look down, you know, Proverbs, the word Proverbs at the beginning of the title of the book is very bold in my Bible. Something leapt out, just leapt off the page. And sometimes that's how revelation will happen, but it just leapt off the page at me. And that was the first five letters of the word Proverbs is the word prove. And I just thought that was really interesting because it just stood off to me. And it's like it was speaking something to me. And instantly, instantly in my spirit, I sensed, where else have I seen this word prove? And it took me instantly to Malachi 3:10. Now, I don't want you to turn there. I'm just going to read it to you. We know it. We just read it together. Praise the Lord. Malachi 3:10 says, in the New King James Version, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. But if you go back up about halfway through that scripture, praise the Lord, you see the word of the Bible says, and the Lord says, and try me now in this, amen. Now, when we were raised up, in the Jamestown Church, and my pastor always teaches out of the King James Version, amen. Now, King James Version is a very good version. The New King James Version is a good version, praise the Lord. And there's a lot of people that prefer the King James Version or the New King. It's fine, it doesn't matter. But you know how many knows the wordings differently. And I actually like that I was trained that way, because now as I'm reading stuff, I see things in a different translation with different words, but the words, they mean the same thing, but it gives you kind of a more well-rounded understanding of that. Now, when we were reading this in the King James, it said, and prove me now in this, is what the Lord would say. Prove me now in this. You know, God's instruction. This was God's instruction to people about tithing. We're not talking about tithing at all today. What we're focusing on is that part of proof. See how Scripture works? I mean, you can preach a whole message on tithing, of course, based on this. You can preach a whole totally different message based on one word out of it. Amen? Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. What God was saying. But he said, prove it. He said, prove my instruction. Prove it. And of course, if you look that word up in the Hebrew, the word is also try. That word, both, they're interchangeable. And if you just use the word try, you could get confused because you think, oh, it means just try it out and see if it works. That's not what it means. This is actually a better, to see it in the King James would be a better translation, to prove him. Prove it out. Prove and see if the word isn't true. Amen? And this is what I love about when this popped off at me, because Proverbs is they're instructions. Amen? Praise the Lord. I wrote this down somewhere, I think. Praise the Lord. Well, the whole purpose of a proverb, I looked up what the word proverb means, and it's an instruction in moral of moral direction. So it's instruction in righteousness. It's a instruction from a good standpoint, if you want to say, a moral standpoint, amen? And so this is really important to understand because, the word prove, I mean, it might not mean anything to you, but it meant something to me. God's word proves itself. God's instruction proves itself based in doing the instruction. In other words, when you do what the word says, then the outcome is absolute and sure. It always is. It doesn't change based on society. It doesn't change based on the whims of society or desires of the people. It doesn't change depending on whether the weather is good, the weather is bad. It doesn't change whether or not the economy is good or the economy is bad. It doesn't change whether or not we have smartphones or we don't have smartphones. It never changes. The truth of the word is always the truth. Amen? And this is what's so awesome about the you know, when people And people, you, when you pick apart, like if you do studies and you pick apart things like the Quran and stuff like that, you can find things that were purposely changed over the years. When you, in other faiths, it's the same thing. You can see things that were purposely changed because you take like the Mormons, for example, they have a whole set of things that they have to change because when it was written, they didn't have knowledge of certain things that they do today. See, the awesome and wonderful thing about the Word of God is that no matter what happens in science, it doesn't disprove anything. It just backs it up. Actually, if you look at the science, if you ever studied out the science that's in the Bible, it was far ahead of its time. I mean, the Bible talks about the earth being round way before people believed that the earth was round. And if you've seen, there's a trend lately. This is actually a thing. They're called flat earthers, people that believe the earth is actually flat. And they present some pretty compelling arguments. Do you know why I bring that up? Because if you look at anything today, if you know, we are in a time period where technology is just out of it's crazy. I mean, even in a day, listen to this. Listen to the politicians fight back and forth. You can have video evidence of something, and it doesn't mean anything anymore. You can have a recording. I mean, you would think that would be the ultimate thing. But it's still, people still get screwed. In fact, people get stuff more screwed up today than they ever have. Why is that in a time when we should have more knowledge and more ability than anything? It's because humans try to manipulate it. Whenever humans try to get in and manipulate something, they screw it all up. But these, like I said, these flat earthers, if you watch videos of them trying and presenting their point, I mean, it's compelling some of the stuff they say. But see, you don't have to go very far. All you have to do is go outside in the daytime. Don't look at the sun. But go outside at nighttime and look at the moon. What shape is it? It isn't flat, is it? It isn't square, is it? Doesn't look like a giant Triscuit in the sky. What's it look like? It's round. When they look at all the stars and they look it through a telescope, they're round. When they look at all the other planets, they're round. So what do you think? Do you think the Earth stands alone and that it was the only one that was flat? I mean, it's pretty simple, but, you know, people look like morons, and they can keep doing that if they want. But, you know, see, that's the thing. You just do some deductive reasoning, and you get to the point that I'm trying to make. But the thing is if you follow the truth, you will always have your answer, amen? It's not hard. There's not some new thing. You know, listen, if the world of science that so hates, and we don't hate science, but the world of science generally hates scripture or religion. But if the world of science had absolute proof, if they had something so compelling that they could just put down and say that this stuff just isn't true, don't you think that they would have it out there? Oh, do you know they would have it out there? Man, I'm telling you what, they would call up the ladies at The View and they'd be on their first show would be like, hey, there is proof that the Bible is false. But they can't do it. Why can they not do it? And all this ability to prove, praise the Lord, glory to God. Glory to God, hallelujah. And something you want, and I'll say this as a protection to our people. If you are a person who has habitually follows things online, whether it's social media or whether it's the news or anything, you need to be careful about how much you listen to. Because we know this recently. We had some people talking bad about the church recently and about some things with us. They're just going around and they're just trying to poison everybody they can. How do we know? Because they're going around saying everything negative. Yeah. Praise the Lord. They're trying to find negative things to justify why they sin. And so we understand how this works. But that's exactly what happens. And it's effective. I said it's effective. And I'm not going to get political, but I'm just going to talk about something we all probably have heard about. You heard about a government shutdown. President Trump isn't the first one to have a government shutdown. There are multiple sides to this story, praise the Lord. Again, I'm not trying to be political. I'm just saying that what I'm saying is that we can't just look at one side ever on anything. That's my point. And just get your answer and think, well, you know, because there's people that sit there and say, you know, that they might think that President Trump is the best thing, the perfect president and all this stuff. I don't know about that. I'm not judging all that. But I'm just saying that, you know, there's both sides of the spectrum. And I'm really trying not to get my opinions and my things into that. But the truth of the matter is facts are facts. And you can't change that. And the Bible is loaded full of facts. Prove me now in this, says the Lord. if I will not do what I said I would do. That's essentially what he's saying there. Prove me in this to see if what I said that I would do wouldn't come true. Prove it. What does he mean by prove it? He's not saying put it to the test. He's saying try it out. Watch God and see. Watch God work. Do what God says. And of course, we understand it's not a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. You can't just try it three times and say, well, it didn't work. It doesn't work that way. Praise the Lord. When you look at the progress of a Christian who has been in the faith, you will see over time, there will be ups and downs sometimes, but you'll see over time that they grow. Amen? Praise the Lord. Sometimes people come in and come into the church even, and maybe they're not as refined as we are. Hallelujah. Maybe they're not as spiritual as we are. They come in and just, but see, that doesn't matter. That stuff doesn't trip me up. Somebody comes in and maybe they still swear a lot, or maybe they still party a lot or something like that. But they're coming in. I'm talking about somebody who's just coming in. Amen. Obviously, if you're a Christian who's been a Christian, you shouldn't be doing this stuff. Amen. Any kind of drug, I don't care what it is. Praise the Lord. You shouldn't be putting it in your body. You know what I'm talking about. Drugs to change the mind or to make you mellow or to make you excited or to do whatever, get you high, whatever it is, it's all wrong. Actually, the Bible calls it witchcraft. Yeah. Amen. That was one of the things I studied out last night. We're not even preaching on today, but that's free, no charge. Hallelujah. But somebody first comes in, I don't try to pick apart their life and say, well, they do this wrong and they do this. No. You let them come in, the word will change them. I said the word will change them. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that's what we want to get to. And so all that just to get into Proverbs, praise the Lord. Proverbs 3, we're starting in verse 1. I love this. Praise God, hallelujah. No, not Proverbs 3, I skipped ahead. Proverbs 1, verse 1, hallelujah. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now we know something about Solomon is that he was the wisest man in all of Israel, right? God blessed him with wisdom and the ability to be rich, praise the Lord, but he gave him just unspeakable wisdom. Amen. Probably only one ever smarter than him was Jesus, praise the Lord. Or having more wisdom, amen. Now, I love this at the beginning of my Proverbs here in my Bible because it has kind of an introduction and it says, the key word in Proverbs is wisdom. I love that. Wisdom. And then it quotes it, the ability to live life skillfully. How many know that everybody on earth is living, that's alive, right? Everybody on earth that's alive is living. Can't argue that fact. Amen. So probably somebody will try to, amen, make them flat or something, I don't know. But everybody on earth that is alive is living. But there is a difference between living and living skillfully. When I lived for years. When I was out on my own and I was learning the world by myself. Praise the Lord, I'm out there trying to do things. I was living and I was living rough. Amen. It wasn't until somebody started implanting the Word of God in me that I started being skillful at living. And when I mean skillful at living, I mean today. I can do things. Praise the Lord. Like I can go to Walmart. Praise the Lord. By myself. I can go work a job, praise the Lord, by myself and not have to have meds to do it. I can get up in the morning and smile without medicine making me smile. I can go through life. I'm not saying I don't have attacks. Of course we all have attacks. I don't live in the attack. I don't live in the downs. I live in the ups, amen. There's different ways we can live life. Amen. You can live without God. Pastor said that in church. You can totally live without God. You can live a good life without God in the sense of the natural standard. Aren't there people that are, you're telling me that these billionaires could go anywhere they want to do, go and spend. I watched a show once. It was a long time ago, but these people were spending like $100,000 on one trip. Can you even imagine that? Spending $100,000 on one trip. There's people who live like that. Listen, they didn't look like they were sad when they were skipping island to island on their private plane or their private yacht. Praise the Lord, wearing anything that they wanted, drinking, eating everything they wanted. They live good. They're living good by the world's standards. And they don't have God. I'm not saying everybody's rich doesn't have God, but you understand what I'm saying. So you can live and live God, but do you live skillfully? See, skillfully is the key. Because skillfully is much more than just, it does much more than just life today. It actually provides for you forever, amen? It sets up things in the future. Living skillfully is the thing, amen? Well, that's free, glory to God. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And now this instructs us what they're for. To know wisdom and instruction, praise the Lord. To perceive words of understanding. So God wants you to know. He wants you to be instructed, but he wants you to know. He wants you to perceive. Look at this, verse 3. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Praise the Lord. To give prudence to the simple. That word prudence is wisdom. See, you don't even have to be real smart. Praise the Lord. You know, you'd be like me, a big dummy. Praise the Lord. I dropped out of high school, went back, got my good enough diploma. You know what I'm talking about? But it doesn't matter. God is a great equalizer, praise the Lord. He'll give a dummy wisdom. He'll make you smart, amen? Praise the Lord. He'll make you be able to live skillfully. Praise the Lord. You can live simply and skillfully. I like living simple. I don't necessarily, I'll say this, sometimes there's things that I like that are, you know, I got to fly an airplane the other day. I don't mean fly in an airplane, I mean I got to fly it. Well, it was kind of the equivalent of, if you want to look at it like this, it was kind of the equivalent of, you know, when you're a kid and you're in the front seat with your dad and he's like, hey, you want to drive the car? And you're like, yeah. And he's like, just reach over and steer, you know what I mean? I mean, like, he's right there and you're allowed to steer. I didn't take off and I didn't land it. But when we were up there, I got to steer, amen? And I was like, oh, yeah, this is cool, you know? And of course, you know, I wouldn't do something, and he'd just be like, well, a friend of mine owns an airplane, amen? And we were zooming around. We went to lunch. This is a great story. We went to lunch. We're on our way home from lunch. I'm taking him to drop him off. He lives near the airport. Praise the Lord. That's a good place to live if you have an airplane. Hallelujah. But he lives near the airport. I was driving home. He's like, hey, you want to go up in the air for 10 minutes? And I'm like, you can do that? And I know you can do that, right? I mean, you think about a car, but really people that fly, it's just like cars. You just go get in one and go. You know what I mean? Take it up, take it down. That's all you got to do. Amen. But, I mean, you want to make sure you know what you're doing. Hallelujah. But, which I didn't. So he took us up and then I, you know, turned and then he took us down. Amen. And so that was pretty cool. But why did I say that? I don't know. Yeah, praise the Lord. It was fun. It was a good story anyway. Thanks, Aaron. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You're living simple. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was talking about. Thank you. I was living simple. I live simply, but now I want an airplane. Amen. And praise the Lord. Simple people don't necessarily want airplanes, but hey, simple people that learn how to live skillfully, they start desiring airplanes. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Like, we got an airport right here in Mayville. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, I can't use it this time of year. Amen. Unless it's got skis on it, but praise the Lord. Yeah, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Praise the Lord. Knowledge and discretion. That word discretion is the word purpose. Man, hallelujah. What would happen if people start living with purpose? You know, there's a difference between just living and living with purpose. I love living with purpose. You know why? Because I lived many years without purpose. And when you wake up in the morning without purpose, you start thinking, if you're a person who thinks, you start thinking, what the heck am I here for? Why do I bother? Why do we bother working jobs with no purpose? I mean, honestly, think about it. Why would you bother working with no purpose? If you got no purpose in life, why are you going to waste your life working? Yeah, I don't know. That's why some people don't. Amen? No, I'm just telling you the truth. Praise the Lord. There is purpose to work, though. There's purpose to increase. There's purpose into, what would happen if all of a sudden there was no incentive to work anymore? You think about this. I'm just telling you, there are people trying to do this in our country today. But what happens if there's no incentive to work? There's no purpose. Nothing's going to get done. Why do you think this nation, it becomes such a great nation? Because it was built on purpose. People wanted to accomplish something. People came because they had purpose. They found purpose here. There's plenty of countries in this world that have no purpose. Americans, we are spoiled. We are so spoiled. We have been given the ability to have purpose, the ability to change our outcome. Praise the Lord. That's exactly what God has always intended for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. But how many know that you can try something and fail? But see, when you follow the plan of God, you don't fail. That's the awesome thing about following the plan of God, is that he takes that factor out of the equation. Amen? A wise man will hear an increase in learning. A wise man will hear and increase learning. You know, there's people that sit in church and they don't listen to anything. And then they prove it by what they go out and do. And then they say, well, all that stuff doesn't work. They get offended. They'll say this and say that. But it's because they didn't do the word. It's real simple, amen? And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Oh, that's so good. A man of understanding, somebody who can live skillfully, somebody who understands the way things work, they aren't going to take counsel from, praise the Lord, I got to be careful how I use these words. They're going to take counsel from the yokels. You know what I mean? The yokels sitting together and talking about how everybody's business, praise the Lord. Yeah. Careful of that stuff. Yeah. There ain't no counsel in that. You start taking counsel in that, and listen, you're going to go down a road you don't want to go down. And it ain't a godly road. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Listen, if it ain't wise, I don't want to hear it. I don't let everybody speak into my life. Are you kidding me? Listen, if somebody's proven that they can't live life skillfully, I certainly am not going to take any direction from them. Nothing. I won't even let them make me toast. I'm just telling you the truth. Listen, I don't want direction from somebody who isn't wise. Somebody who can't live skillfully. I don't want that kind of stuff. I always, Dr. Dufresne said, he said, always hang out with people that are smarter than you. Praise the Lord. That's why I married her. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? Like we gotta know somebody. We want to know people that know more than us. Amen. And listen, otherwise we're helping people. Amen. But if we're just on par, if we're just equals with somebody who isn't wise, and we're letting them speak into our lives, dear God, destruction's coming, I'm just telling you. Praise the Lord. To understand a proverb and an enigma, amen? The words of the wise and their riddles, praise the Lord. You know, Jesus spoke in parables. Actually, that word parables, if you look it up, one of the words for the word parables is guess what? Proverb. It's a proverb. Jesus spoke this way, and he explained why. We're going to see this in a minute. Amen. To the word of the wise, and there is anybody think Jesus was wise? And some people think, man, he talked in riddles. The disciples said, we don't understand what you're saying. And he'd explain it. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, this trips a lot of people up. There's a lot of people over the years that the fear of the Lord is something they don't understand. The fear of the Lord, they think that you have to be afraid of God. This is a perfect example of translational misunderstanding. In other words, if you translate, if you lived in 1611, you know, the New King James Version came out of the same time, you know, it's just the modern translation of the New King, or the King James Version, amen? And so it's basically the same thing, just without some of the language. But some of the language is still there. And we understand this. If you, 1611, that word fear would have meant something different than it does today. Yeah. I love to use this example. In the King James Version of the Bible, there are many places, some people have tried to refute the Bible, tried to use this, but the word unicorn is used like 3 or 4 times, maybe up to 7 times in the Bible, unicorn. And they're like, and people are like, you know, they're like, see, this proves that the Bible, they're talking about unicorns. Well, see, that works, you know, I understand on the surface, if you're a surface thinker, that's all that means. But you can't be a surface thinker about Scripture. If you get an old dictionary, like from the 1800s, and you look up the word unicorn, it is the name they gave to rhinoceroses. Rhinoceri? Rhinoceroses? Rhinoceroses. Praise the Lord. That's the name that they had. That's what they called it. It was unicorn. That was the word for them. Amen. And so that's what the Bible's talking about, obviously, when it talks about unicorns. It's not because it was a translation back in that time period. Amen. So it's not talking about actual unicorns. Do we think there was horses with horns coming out of the middle of their head and they had magical powers? Well, if you believe that, praise the Lord, then we need to go back and have that conversation about drugs. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth, amen? Because if you're seeing a magical horse with a horn and powers, we need to understand things, amen? Praise the Lord. We need to get you back down here on earth, praise the Lord. We'll deal with all them fairies you've been talking to, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Oh, I almost said something that I could have seen like one of our some of our elders saying, but dear Lord, I knew I wasn't there yet, so I ain't going to say it. But it was real funny. I just laughed because it was real funny, praise the Lord. glory to God. The fear of the Lord, it means respect for the truth of God. The fear, that's what the fear of the Lord is. It's kind of the same way that I fear, it's really what it means is reverence. When my pastor is around, I have a certain reverence for him because I know that he has knowledge that I don't have. And so I want to draw off of that. You know what I mean? When my pastor is around, I'll become, I can go from being a leader to being to not being a worshiper, to being like a complete follower. We call ninnies, amen. But I do whatever, you know what I mean? If they ask me to do it, I'll do it. I'll serve whatever I have to do. Amen. Praise the Lord, because that's the way God's kingdom works, amen. But to understand that, so that means respect. So you could say that the respect for the truth of God is the beginning of knowledge, amen. Respect for the truth of God. You see, there's so many people that will sit and they think that what was preached, they think that it's suggestions. They think that the Proverbs are suggestions. They think that the parables that Jesus used, it's just a good idea of how we can look at life. But no, the Bible tells us that we need to, Miss Sister Rachel, praise the Lord, Rachel Gabriel, what'd she say? Dwell. It's something we're meant to dwell in, amen? Praise the Lord. I never called you either of those before. But I think sister, I'm going to start calling her. Everybody start calling her Sister Rachel. That's what we're going to call her. Praise the Lord. Josh, you're married to a nun. Hallelujah. No, he's not. That's a joke. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, don't marry. Praise God. Glory to God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Respect for the truth of God is the beginning of knowledge. Amen. We need to live in it. It needs to be something that's a part of us. It's something that's just so much, you know, it's our life. Hallelujah. I build my life around the Word of God. That doesn't mean that I always know everything in here. It doesn't mean that I always have all the understanding that I need at the time. But what I do is I continue to go back to that. You know, even last night I was just going, that's how this message was born. I sensed that I knew what I was preaching. I didn't have an issue with that. But I was just in the evening. I was just at a place where I was like, I just need to spend some time with God. I just need to, and when you feel that void, generally, that's what that is. You don't realize that sometimes you project it on something else. I mean, often it's like, oh, I need a cupcake. No, you just need to spend some time with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes that's what that is. And so you have a desire in you for more. Like, what is it? Are you unsettled in the evening? It's just a desire for more of God. Yeah. I'm just telling you. In your life, if you're feeling there's something missing in your life, it's the inward desire for more of God. Get in the Word. Just go to God and start saying, and this is how I go, Lord, I just want to know you more. I just want to get into the Word more. I just want to understand you more. And this is the thing about a relationship with God. You know, we so often we put so many different things that we have to do. And I understand that sometimes church can sound like that. You know, when we have this correction and that instruction, and really instructions are good for us. We need instructions, but it's not just about instructions. The purpose of the instructions are to it's back to our Heavenly Father to have a relationship with Him. Praise the Lord. Because people who walk away from God are people that never had a relationship with God. Amen? I'm just telling you the truth. Amen? The reason that my wife and I have, we continue to come home to each other, the reason we are not tempted to go cheat on each other or to go out into the world is because we have a good relationship between the two of us. We've built that. We've both purposed in our heart to have a good relationship. And so we've done whatever. It's not always easy. In the sense that there's always things that can come against you in life. There's times where, listen, I don't like the way she just said that, and she don't like the way that I just said that. But, you know, what we have to do is we have to determine in our lives, we're going to put those down because a good relationship is more important than the stuff. A good relationship is more important than, all the garbage that you could argue about or whatever. The argument, that's not worth, you know, what? I had such a sweet example of this. I went out to Reverend Greer. You all know Reverend Greer. I went out to Reverend Greer. Praise God. I went out to his his hangar to do some work for him. And we were doing some interior, they built like offices and stuff. And so we were doing some interior siding, if that makes sense. Praise the Lord. It was just, we were making it pretty, amen. We were making a box look pretty is what we were doing. And so we were doing all kinds of stuff. We spent all week working, you know, and towards the end of the week, you know, there was this one last thing to do, and there was this one last thing to do, and we were looking at it, and we're like, trying to figure out exactly how we wanted to do it, amen. And Reverend Greer's wife, Miss Patty, comes in, and she was looking at it, you know, because you got to get the boss's input on it, amen. You can think it looks great, but until the boss says that it's okay, well, praise the Lord. That's why every great idea I have, I always run by her first, because if I don't, praise the Lord. I don't want to end up, see, that's living skillfully, hallelujah. I didn't always live that way, praise the Lord. I've been doing my way, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But, so she comes in he's like, yeah, we're going to do this, and we're finishing this way. She's like, oh, I don't like that. Praise the Lord. And I had already agreed to it, you know what I mean? And she looks at me, she's like, Pastor Jeff, what do you think? And I said, I agree with you 100%. Hallelujah. And it was so awesome to see him, though. But here's a man who has learned to live skillfully with his wife. Because he's an older gentleman. They've been married for many years and all that stuff. And he, without an argument, he just really sweetly submitted to it and just was happy as anything to do it. You know, I mean, that just blessed me, but it teaches me something. I think about it all the time, amen. See, you never know. Sometimes those little things you do will speak to somebody else, and you don't even know that it was doing it, amen. Well, we're there in Proverbs 1. Flip over to Proverbs 3, amen. Praise the Lord. This is important here. Reading 1 through 4, it says, my son, do not forget my law. But let your, and that word law, again, literally means just direction, instruction. It's not just like the rules and regulation. It's the direction, instruction. The Bible is direction and instruction. That's what the Bible is. Hallelujah. My son, do not forget my direction and my instruction, but let your heart keep my commands, the things that I tell you to do. Amen. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Hallelujah. Length of days and long life. Boy, this is another one of those scriptures that flies in the face of all those people that think that God just randomly takes people, randomly calls somebody home. For length of days and long life. Oh, God needed another angel. That's why your child died. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. God's instruction adds life, length of days, praise the Lord, and peace. This is what God's instruction adds to us. God isn't calling anybody home early. God isn't trying to make people check out early. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Just like to point this stuff out when it's there. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Now, I think this is really interesting. The Bible tells us that there's two things that should not forsake us. Is mercy and truth. Amen? And actually, if you get into studying that word truth, also part of that is faithfulness. Amen? But we're going to focus on the truth part of it. Mercy is basically the love of God. God said, I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. Amen? That's what God desires. So when we deal with people, we need to have mercy. Praise the Lord. We need to have mercy because that's love, ultimately what it is. And truth, the truth of God. Those two things are so important. He said, bind them around your neck. Bind them around your neck. Amen. Praise the Lord. Write them on the tablet of your heart. In other words, when something happens to you, you should have mercy and truth so much into you that that's what comes out. That when somebody is nasty to you, mercy and truth comes out. Not your outburst of wrath, not your anger, not your need for revenge, not your desire to be recompensed for the things that have gone wrong in your life. Yeah. Praise the Lord, mercy and truth. Why? Because God covers the rest. Right. Yeah. You ain't got to have somebody else give you back. Praise the Lord. Why? Because you have a Heavenly Father who always takes care of you when you operate in mercy and truth. Praise the Lord. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. I'm telling you what, Somebody who's truthful and merciful, there's somebody who never goes without. Somebody who's truthful and merciful that knows God will always, always, always have. They'll find favor with everybody. Have you known people like that? Praise the Lord. You know people that you just can't say enough nice stuff about? Praise the Lord, that nobody can talk mean about? Why? Generally, you look at it, they're operating in mercy and truth. Amen? It's just the way it goes. Amen? It's what God has for us. So we see that it's important to God to bind these things around our neck. What is truth? Jesus said, your word is truth. He told us his word is truth. The Proverbs are true. Not just the Proverbs as in the book of Proverbs, but all the Proverbs, all the parables, all the things, the things the Bible teaches us, all the knowledge that comes out of the word of God. You can understand this, that all the stories, all the accounts of everything that happened in Scripture, there is spiritual principles behind all of it. Amen? That's what a parable is. There's a spiritual principle in how David lived. There's a spiritual in what he did. There's a spiritual principle in how Joseph lived and what he did. There's spiritual principles in how Abraham lived and what he did. That's what we're after when we see these accounts. We look, what's the spiritual principle behind it? Amen? And this is why so many people miss what the Word has for them and don't understand it, because they never get into the deeper meanings of it. They just read it on the surface and say, well, God promotes slavery. No, he doesn't. Yeah, if there's anything the Bible teaches us, it's that God promotes freedom, true freedom from all bondages. He doesn't promote slavery. Praise the Lord. But even in the place of slavery, he commands those who he commands people to operate rightly. Actually, God said there's no difference between Jew or Greek, slave or free. He said there's no difference in God's eyes. In other words, he's not saying that. He's saying that he doesn't like one above the other. He loves them all. Praise the Lord. The same. His word is true for them all. Amen. Praise the Lord. God has not held anyone back or held anyone in bondage. Glory to God. God has intended that all men should live. Amen. Jesus came to be, he was the light of the world. The whole world. Every single person in the world. Jesus wasn't just come to live so a few people could get lucky. You know what I'm saying? He didn't just do it so a few people lucked out. And, oh, I guess I get to be blessed because I get to live in America. You understand that the very foundations of this country is Christianity. Yeah. It's because God was working. It wasn't just because men and women were doing certain things. It was because God was working behind the scenes to form this country. And he had to use imperfect people. He still uses imperfect people. But I'm going to tell you, there's no country on earth that has the things that we have. And why do you think that is? Because the principles are all founded on God's principles. The idea that all men are created equal did not come from these forefathers sitting in the back room saying, hey, what should we say that sound pretty good? No, it's because they knew Scripture and they tried to base it the best they knew out of Scripture. All men are created equal because that's what God said. That's what God did. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so we understand these things, that God has set things up and God has always called out to his people, but people don't always obey. And we have a country today that is very much so not obeying God. I'm talking about in general. You know, there's pockets, there's people, and there's lots of Christians here. There's lots of good-hearted people here. But we need the knowledge of the truth. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. So now turn with me to Mark 4. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mark 4, and we're going to see this. You know, this is interesting about Mark 4. Because whenever I come here, I always read one part of Mark 4, always thinking that the other part isn't necessary. And then God was showing me last night just how it was necessary. Amen. Yeah, when I say I didn't think it was necessary, I just thought it was, you know, filler that we didn't need. You know, I'm still saying it wrong. You know what I mean? That's not what I really feel. But, you know, in my mind at the moment, I'm like, should I save time and not go to all this? But today we're going to it. Mark 4, 1. Praise the Lord. We're going to read through verse 20. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into the boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he, and it's Jesus talking about, amen, then he taught them many things by parables. Praise the Lord. You know, one of the things that in the beginning of Proverbs that we read there was to understand the words of the wise, to understand the parables. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And that's what the Word of God does. It'll help you learn to understand that. Amen. And said to them, in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. And it immediately sprang up, and because it had no depth of earth, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Some people just say, oh, that's a good story, Pastor. Good story you taught. But they didn't get anything that, you know what I mean? Like I've literally had people do that to me. I've taught a whole message on something. They'll pick out the one goofy story that I said in the middle to illustrate a point. They miss the whole point of what I said, and that's what they dwelled on. That's what they think was entertaining about church. Wow. I'm serious. I've had that happen to me. And people come up to me, and I'm just like, are you serious? That's what you got out of the service? Like, out of all the things that you, I mean, either I'm doing a bad job or you're doing a bad job hearing. Praise the Lord. So Jesus said, he has ears to hear, let him hear. But when he was alone, those around him, the 12, asked him about the parable. And he said to them, this is the back room, amen. This is the cookie jar afterwards. This is the dinners, you know what I mean? Amen. This is why we do those. If you ever wonder why we take ministers to dinners, what do you think we're doing? We're talking about golf, right? No, we don't talk about golf. We don't talk about, I don't sit with a person who knows more than me spiritually, sit there and talk about their favorite color. I don't care. I don't care what it is, unless I'm trying to buy them something. I don't care. You understand what I mean, and it's brief. I sit there and I ask them things that I don't know, because I want to know more. I don't sit there trying to tell them what great revelation I just had. Why? Because it doesn't matter to them, and it doesn't matter to me. Actually, it hurts me. Listen, if you're sitting before somebody who is a leader, you don't sit like leading you in the things of God. You don't sit there telling them everything you know. You ask questions to find out what they know. Yeah. Amen. And you find out the flow. I'm just trying to help you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm not just talking about me, but I'm talking about people that are more spiritual than us. See, this is where the body of Christ has gone wrong. Because one of the things that this country has put into people, that everybody can be this and everybody can be that. Well, if everybody can be everything, well, you have no need for anything. That's the truth, right? Yeah. If everybody can be, then there's no need for it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Why do we, if you don't know, if you don't have skills in carpentry, why do you call carpenters? Why is there carpenters out there? Because some people don't have skills in that area. Amen? Praise the Lord. And some people don't have the time to learn those skills. Amen? And I'm going to tell you, any dummy can learn how to pound a nail. I'm just telling you the truth. I know because I've done it. Amen? But I still will hire people to do things because I learned that sometimes it's just not worth it to me for me to do it. Understand. So everybody's skilled somewhere. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he goes on, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins should be forgiven them. Now that sounds pretty bad to a lot of people. Why would Jesus not want that? What God wants people to do is come to him in faith. One thing that the Bible instructs us very clearly is to not to cast our pearls to swine. And the reason is because they will devour it, they will trample over it, they will make light of it, they don't care about it, and the things of God are not to be taken lightly. And this is why Christians who live any way they want are Christians that take the Word of God lightly. Christians that don't desire to know more about God and to walk in the blessing of God, those are Christians who take the things, they're the equivalent of pigs trampling over it in the mud. That's how God looks at them. That's why that's why everybody doesn't have knowledge. Why? Because some people just want to be religious. They don't want to really know God. They don't really want a relationship with God. I knew somebody like this. All they wanted to do was condemn people. They just wanted to find reason to condemn people. You know, and that's not the heart of God. Amen. The heart of God is mercy. Praise the Lord. And so because people who are hungry, he said he always feel them. He always feel them. Always. It doesn't matter. If you're hungry, it doesn't matter who you are, what color you are, what gender you are, what background you come from. It does not matter. If you're hungry for God, he will feed you. He will show you. He'll make sure you get fed. How do I know? Because he did it with me. Yeah. Amen. I said he did it with me. I had a desire for God from a very young age. Didn't matter how bad I was or what I did. There was always something in me that longed and yearned for the things of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm getting used to this new time. I don't know where we're at on time, so getting close, but I think. But I'm just going to keep going here for a little bit. Praise the Lord. What else you got to do? Go for a drive? Amen. So... So then he goes on, he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? See, people who are spending time spiritually, people who are in church, there should be change. Yeah. I'm just telling you, you should start understanding something at some point. Yeah. If you're connecting to the work, if you're connected to what God's doing, you should start changing at some point. Yeah. Christians that don't change are not Christians that are in the plan and will of God. Right. I said Christians that don't, they're the same as when they came in. They do the same things. They say the same things. Everything's always bad. It's always this. It's always that. La, da, 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 da. If you don't change, it ain't God's fault. It's your fault. Plain and simple. Are you hungry enough to change? How do you change? Well, first of all, you get submitted. You say, listen, I want to submit myself to the plan and will of God. I want to know what God has for me. Amen. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect overnight. I don't expect people to be perfect overnight. Amen. Praise the Lord. God doesn't either, but we do expect change. Praise the Lord. The sower sows the word. So what this is saying to us, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, but the one who wants a harvest is the one who's going to sow seed. And if you want a harvest of the things of God, then you have to start with what God says, and the word is the seed that God says. And so if you want a harvest from God, you have to sow the word. What does that mean? You have to speak the word. You have to learn the word. You have to desire the word. You have to get the word in you. You have to start conforming your life to the word and stop conforming your life to the world. People who always do what you understand, Pastor, I'm just real busy. I don't understand nothing. I don't understand nothing about you being real busy. That's no excuse for neglecting the things of God. I don't care. You can't use busy. You're going to stand before Jesus and say, I'm sorry, Jesus, I was busy. You're busy what? Doing what? Seriously, you're busy doing what? Are people busy? Think about what people are busy doing. You can be busy doing a lot of dumb things. Amen. Things that don't get you anywhere. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I could go on a rant about that, but I think I'll end it right there unless I make somebody mad. I'm just telling you the truth. You can get busy about a lot of stupid stuff. I get busy about a lot of stupid stuff, and God reminds me it ain't about all this stuff. Now, it's important we have a nice church, but I'm going to tell you right now that the church doesn't mean more than my time with God. Hallelujah. Yours either. Praise the Lord. You remember Martha and Mary, right? Glory to God. Martha was mad. Why? Because Mary was running around. Or Mary was sitting at Jesus, listening to Jesus. Martha was running around, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Martha's saying, Lord, don't you care? Mary ain't doing nothing. And we got him right? I got him in the right order? Yeah. It's like, he said, Martha, Martha. That's right, Martha, Martha. Why are you so troubled, Martha? Yeah. She's doing what's good. Sit down and listen for a minute. Yeah. Now listen. Now, if you came in and you know, you wanted to hear the word, and you're like, oh, I'm going to sit and listen. But meanwhile, you know, the one who's delivering the word had to go around and do all the work. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I mean, I'm just saying, we all have parts to play to make sure the job gets done. Amen. So I'm saying that we still have to make sure that the church is ready and the, you know, things are, you know, stuff like that. But there's preparation that's prepared ahead of time. Amen. It's the same thing with. There's pastors that work part-time jobs on top of it. I'm just going to tell you the truth. They ain't the will of God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And those churches should be ashamed that they make their pastors do that. Why? Because if the pastor has to worry about how he's going to pay his bills and he's got to go out there and do that, guess what he ain't doing? He's not spending time with God. He's not getting in the Word. He's not getting the deeper things that you need to live your life. Praise the Lord. And so things will be missed. It's just the truth. Things will get missed. And sometimes that's the way things have to start. Amen? It's the way this church started. But it didn't last. It's not going to stay that way, right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I don't know where I was. Mark 4:14. Sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, this is what I want to do. I marked in my Bible where it said this originally. It was back in verse 4. And look what he says. He says, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. Now, if you've ever done anything, you know, when you're going out, you're doing something, like maybe you're doing something with seed. You got a bunch of seed with you. How many know if you're going to seed a lawn, say, so you go out to seed the lawn, how many know that all the seed that you take with you doesn't end up where you want it to go. Right? If you're walking down the sidewalk, some of the seed's going to fall on the sidewalk. Some of it's going to fall by the wayside. That's what it's talking about here. And then back in verse 4, it tells us that. So some of the seed, some of the people here, they aren't here to grow. Now, I'm not saying today. I'm just saying in general, in churches in general. They're not there to grow. They're there to see what they can get. They just, I want to see what I can get from God. I'm not here to grow in the things of God. I don't want to go any higher. I don't want to grow any further. I just want what I want. Praise the Lord. They fall by the wayside. They're seed, getting the seed. I'm throwing out the seed. I'm sowing the word. The question is, are you receiving the seed? And see, that's what we need to do. We have to go into church with the from a place of, I'm going to receive today. I'm receiving the word, which is a seed, so I have a harvest of what the seed is intended for. How do you come into church? Praise the Lord. Some people come into church more excited about the football game after the church. I'm not saying in this church. And I know at least one big football fan, and I don't believe that's the case for him. Praise the Lord. Why? Because I've seen change in his life. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about Brother Scott over here. Hallelujah. But he loves football, you know, so I'm not picking on him. But some people, I've seen that, where people, they want to talk about the football game. They'll stand out there, just talk about what the football game that's coming up. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What I'm talking about, I've seen this. It may happen here. I haven't seen it here. I used to see it when I was in Jamestown. People come in, the Bills doing blah, 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 blah. Do you realize you're about to have an appointment with Jesus in there and all you can think about is a stinking football game afterwards? That's seriously what's important to you. How you come into church matters. Are you coming to receive from God? Do you want the knowledge of God? Do you say that when you come in? Praise the Lord. You know, I know some people. We have people in this church that are just so hungry for God. You can see it in their faces when you preach. They're just like, I want more of this. I want to go further. I want to go deeper. I want to know more about God. Hallelujah. Those are the people that really grow. Those are the people that see great fruit in their life. So if you see somebody who's like, man, things are just taking off for them, go up to them and say, hey, man, what are you doing right? Praise the Lord, because I don't know. I ain't been there yet. You know what I'm saying? That's how I learned. Because I go up to people and I'd say, what about this? I noticed something. You know, what about this, this, and this? Somebody would tell me something. It was a spiritual truth. I could give you gobs of spiritual truths that I've been taught over the years because somebody faith, because I just listened. Because I was more interested in listening than I was about, you know, just whatever. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying you can't come to church and have some fellowship time where, you know, obviously I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying, when the focus is just about everything else, glory to God. You know, that's not the plan of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So those are people that just some of the seed falls there. But what does it say? Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So there's people that sit here that have the word sown. I've prepared a good meal. Praise the Lord. I'm just feeding them for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever I'm feeding them for. And then they go out in the world and immediately Satan has taken the word. You notice the Bible says that Satan comes immediately, He takes the word that was sown. Jesus said that Satan comes immediately and takes it. Nope. And they don't even know enough. They haven't listened enough to even know to let it be planted. It's gone. The truth of the word is gone. Now they're back to doing whatever they wanted to do. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. When they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Praise the Lord. And they have no root in themselves. You know, here, now let's go back up to verse 5 and 6. It says, but when the sun was up, talking about the same thing, the sun scorched it because it had no root, it withered away. Down here it says, they had no root in themselves. Let's make a connection here. Hallelujah. See, what it's saying is that they didn't have root in themselves. It was up to them to decide whether or not there would be root. Are you going to allow the word to be planted in you, or are you going to sit there and fight it? When you hear the word preached, you say, I just don't like hearing that. I don't like hearing that. I don't like hearing that. I don't like hearing that. That's fighting the word. Yeah. It's not going to have any root in you. It's not going to produce anything. Why do Christians not produce? Most of the time, it's because they're not the right kind of ground. And the ground is always up to you to determine what kind of ground you're going to be. I hope this makes sense. Praise the Lord. So when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with gladness. They sat in church. They loved it. They said, yeah, amen, pastor. That's right on. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And they had no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises, for what? The word's sake. What is the persecution come for? These are people, listen, this is people who come to church. Everything's hunky-dory. It's great. We love being in church. And all of a sudden, some kind of trial comes. Trial of any kind. I mean, you say, well, what kind of trial? Well, it could be sickness. It could be disease. It could be a financial trial. It could be a disinterest trial. There's all kinds of trials that come. It's anything. A trial is anything that's trying to stop you from going forward in the things of God. Anything that's trying to stop you from going forward. You cannot go forward in the things of God not being planted. Why? Because the Bible likens us to a tree that's been planted. Anything that's been planted, if it's uprooted and it's moved, it dies. Why? They had no root in themselves. They didn't get rooted. They didn't see. When you're rooted, you're not easily pulled, are you? Anyone try to pull a weed? You know those weeds. Those I don't even know what they're called. They're called weeds. I don't know which kind of weeds are called, but you ever notice those ones? You know, okay, there's one that's called crab. It's a crabgrass, I think, or something like that. And it sprawls out. You can't even mow it. It just always looks ugly. You know, and it doesn't grow up, but it grows out, but it kills everything around it. And it always looks ugly. It always makes it look like it's unmowed. You know what I'm talking about? Those things are rooted. They're rooted in the ground, man. You can't just get rid of those things. They're hard. You got to work at getting those out. See, that's what happens when I don't know about you, but if you have a field full of these things, you're going to give up sooner or later, right? And you're going to go to a smaller weed or somewhere else. It's the same way with the devil. See, if you're rooted good in the things of God, then when the devil comes to try to uproot you, you can't just be pulled up. You can't just be pulled out, plucked out. Amen? It's gonna take work. You're going to, you know, on the other hand, well, dude, look at a maple tree. You ever see, you know, the spinners go down, they plant a maple in the springtime, see a lot of little maple trees popping up. You can just go around and go bloop, bloop, bloop. Go up to a 100-year-old maple and try to pull it out the ground. See how well you do. You know what I'm saying? But that's what it likens us to. They have no root in themselves. Do you have roots in where you're at? God has placed me here. God has planted me here. I am not being moved. That's a maple tree. That's wisdom. Amen? Praise the Lord. So it's not just someone who receives it with gladness, but stays in it with gladness. Listen, this could be years. You can be not rooted for years in a place. The Bible, or my pastor always told me going out, he said, it seems to me that there is always a cycle with people. 2, 5, and 7 years, he said, always. He said, people are most tested at 2, 5, and 7 years. He's just seen it from pastoring. Guess what? Seen the same thing. 2 years, gone. People are gone. Praise the Lord. If you've seen somebody who's been here and it's been here for a while and is gone, almost always it's at 2, 5, or 7 years. Don't know why. Why? Because Satan comes for the word. He's coming to steal the word. Yeah, God didn't move them. And sometimes they'll try to use spiritual. I ain't giving up on God. I'm not. Yes, you are. Yeah. If you're giving up where God planted you, you're giving up on God. You're going to try to fool yourself and say, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to continue to flourish in the things of God. But it ain't going to happen because you can't prove it. You know what I'm saying? This is what we're talking about here. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They immediately stumble. Now, these are the ones that are sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So we see this, that the cares of this world, things that you want, things you desire, things that are overwhelming you, maybe it's just the trials you've been going through, they come to you and they start choking out the truth and the word becomes unfruitful. Is that what God intended? No, but that's what happened. Praise the Lord. And then we know about the good ground, of course, are the ones that keep producing fruit. Praise the Lord. I'm going to end. Let's see. I know there's something. Praise the Lord. First, let me pull this up real quick. Two more scriptures or two more sets of scriptures real quick. 1 Thessalonians 5:19-21. Praise the Lord. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Test all things. Hold fast what's good. Not all things are good. Test them to see if they're good. Praise the Lord. Guess what that word test means? Prove. Hallelujah. Prove. Recognize as good after examination. That's what it literally means. Recognize, it means to prove it out. Recognize as good after examination. I've examined you. It looks great. No bad report today, the doctor says. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what it means. Amen. And so we'll end here with these scriptures. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. Prove me in this, he says. So shall. It's a matter of a fact. You cannot change it. My word is always true. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. This written word is a word that came from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. It shall not return to him void, but it shall accomplish what God has pleased it to accomplish, and it shall prosper in the things for which he sent it. So what God says is true. When he says that you can prosper and you can grow, he said you can. It means you can. But it means you got to hook up to it. You got to be rooted. You got to be planted. You got to let the word of God do what the word of God is supposed to do. But notice here, this is very important. It says, it shall not return to me void. Who is the one who returns it? The one who was sown in. You return the fruit back. Hallelujah. What do you do when you plant a seed? You plant a seed out in the ground and you grow a tree, and that tree produces what? More seed, and you return back. And the one who planted the seed, which is God, comes by and says, this tree is good. It's producing a bountiful harvest. I'm going to take that and go out. Praise the Lord. That's exactly what it's supposed to be. We are supposed to produce fruit for the Lord. So how do we know the word is the truth? God's word is truth. That's how we know if what somebody's preaching is true. Because it's in the word. His word proves itself in the lives of those who put it to practice. It does every time, all the time, as many times as they do it. And if they stop doing it, it'll stop. But if they continue doing it, it'll continue. Amen?